If personally I have any credit in this matter, it is only that I have tried to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, without any adulteration. Before presenting a presentation of Bhagavad Gita as it is, almost all the English editions of Bhagavad Gita were introduced to fulfill someone's personal ambition. But our attempt in presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is to present the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Our business is to present the will of Krishna, not that of any mundane speculator, like the politician, philosopher, or scientist. For they have very little knowledge of Krishna, despite all their other knowledge. When Krishna says, Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru, we, unlike the so-called scholars, do not say that Krishna and his inner spirit are different. Krishna is absolute. There is no difference between Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes. This absolute position of Krishna is difficult to understand for any person who is not a devotee of Krishna in the system of parampara, the disciplic succession. Generally, the so-called scholars, politicians, philosophers, and swamis, without perfect knowledge of Krishna, try to banish or kill Krishna when writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Such unauthorized commentary upon Bhagavad Gita is known as Mayavadi Bhasya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned us about these unauthorized men. Lord Chaitanya clearly says that anyone who tries to understand Bhagavad Gita through the Mayavadi point of view will commit a great blunder. The result of such a blunder will be that the misguided student of Bhagavad Gita will certainly be bewildered on the path of spiritual guidance and will not be able to go back home, back to Godhead. Now, our only purpose is to present this Bhagavad Gita as it is in order to guide the conditioned student to the same purpose for which Krishna descends to this planet once in the day of Brahma in every 8,600,000,000 years. It's a long time. This purpose is stated in Bhagavad Gita, and we have to accept it as it is. Otherwise, there is no point in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita and its speaker, Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna first spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god some hundreds of millions of years ago. We have to accept this fact and thus understand the historical significance of Bhagavad Gita without misinterpretation on the authority of Krishna. To interpret Bhagavad Gita without any reference to the will of Krishna is the greatest offense. In order to save one from this offense, one has to understand the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he was directly understood by Arjuna, Lord Krishna's first disciple. Such understanding of Bhagavad Gita is really profitable and authorized for the welfare of human society in fulfilling the mission of human life. The Krishna consciousness movement is essential in human society, for it offers the highest perfection of life. How this is so is explained fully in the Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, mundane wranglers have taken advantage of Bhagavad Gita to push forward their demoniac propensities and mislead people regarding right understanding of the simple principles of life. Everyone should know how God or Krishna is great, and everyone should know the factual position of the living entities. Everyone should know that a living entity is eternally a servant. Unless one serves Krishna, one has to serve illusion in different varieties of the three modes of material nature, and thus wander perpetually within the cycle of birth and death. Even the so-called liberated Mayavadi speculator has to undergo this process. This knowledge constitutes a great science, and each and every living being has to hear it for his own interest. People in general, especially in this Kali Yuga, are enamored by the external energy of Krishna, and they wrongly think, that by advancement of material comforts, every man will be happy. They have no knowledge that the material or external energy is very strong, for everyone is strongly bound by the stringent laws of material nature. A living entity is happy, happily, the part and parcel of the Lord. And thus his natural function is to render immediate service to the Lord. Immediate. By the spell of illusion, one tries to be happy by serving his personal sense gratification in different forms, which will never make him happy. Instead of satisfying his personal material senses, he has to satisfy the senses of Krishna. That is the highest perfection of life. The Lord wants this, and he demands it. Well, the Lord wants this, and he demands it. One has to understand this central position of Bhagavad Gita, central point of Bhagavad Gita. Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the whole world this central point. And because we are not polluting the theme of Bhagavad Gita, anyone seriously interested in deriving benefit by studying the Bhagavad Gita must take help from the Krishna consciousness movement for practical understanding of Bhagavad Gita under the direction of the Lord. We hope, therefore, that people will derive the greatest benefit by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, as we have presented it here. And even if one man becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, we can consider our attempt successful. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, 12th May 1971. How many years is that? That's quick. Where is it? Where was it? Where was it written? Sydney, Australia. I see. Yeah. Wow. So Prabhupada, here you are. The preface. Yeah. So everybody has their own purpose in presenting Bhagavad Gita. Right? I think I have a better commentary. One man said the best commentary on Bhagavad Gita is the one you write yourself. Many people think that it's first is the problem, right? What's Arjuna's problem? Huh? Why not? Yeah, he's going to kill his family members. Yeah. But why is he even thinking about fighting? What's his motivation for fighting in the beginning? First of all, he wants to fight. Why does he want to fight? Huh? Yeah, well, his brother is supposed to be king. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. Yeah, let's say for proper vengeance. Yeah, for Draupadi and Yudhisthira, older brother has been so disturbed, like that. Yeah. Because I guess might say because more I guess specific thing is because it's their inheritance. That's a thing like that. Dhritarashtra illegally took the position of king and then passed it on to his sons and so. And they would have been, you know, split the kingdom. They would have taken five villages, which all five of them, there was a specific reason why he named each one. I forgot what it was. Each one was a different thing that Duryodhana had done like that in Dhritarashtra. So we'll have five villages and we'll be satisfied. And what did Duryodhana say?
I won't give you as much land as can fit on the head of
it. I thought it was under the head of the pen. It's like, so then, you know, it was a fight. And of course they're happy. Oh my God, now we get a good excuse, you know. So he's in Maya. He wants to enjoy, you know, Krodha Vegam, the push of anger, right? Revenge. Now every year, if you look, every year there's different revenge movies, you know, coming out. Some teacher who gets revenge against his students, that's pretty popular, right? Some teacher who finally gets revenge against his students have been tormenting him. Some poor housewife gets revenge against her family who've been tormenting her. It's just like, vengeance is such a satisfying thing, no? Yeah. Gratifying, you know. So, but now, and nobody can criticize us like that because we've done for so long, tolerated so much, you know, under Yudhisthira's religious position like that. And so then they go, okay, we're going to win, let's go see everybody here. Then Krishna shows them, this is what it means. If you're going to be happy, if your wife's going to tie her hair up, then everybody else is going to untie their hair because they'll all be widows in your proposition. So that's karma. And it's not the karma, but it's karma. And karma is not nice. You know? It's all, according to Morgan Stern and von Neumann, in the theory of games, it's a zero-sum game. Everybody starts off with nothing, so after 50 minutes, if I have $100, that means everybody Everybody else has to be in debt, you know, $100. So if I'm going to enjoy this, that means somebody else has to suffer. There's nothing here. We leave Krishna, so nothing. Right? So we've got to create these dualities. Like right now, it's nice in here. It's pleasant in here because it's hot outside. But if it was like cold outside, we'd come in here, but I think it was cold here also. Wow, yeah. Wish I could go to somebody where it's hot. Yeah. So it's all dualities. It's okay, it's karma. Forget that. Okay, become a jnani. Walk away from everything. Can't do that either. You know? Because he knows he has his own nature. He's making so many propositions, and finally he surrenders to Krishna. Can't make a solution. Second chapter. Yeah. And then Krishna says, you know, first off, what Krishna says, first off, all of this, actually it was a, Prabhupada quotes Prabodhananda Saraswati. Verbally, he never in his books, saying about Prabodhananda Saraswati. You know. He says that you should go to somebody and bow down, you know, 100 times to him with straw between your teeth to show your humility and tell him what a glorified, intelligent person he is, what good qualities he is. And the person, after his philosophy is so great, his ideas are so great, and the person will finally say, oh, you're right. You know? But what is your idea? You're right, I am great, but what is your idea? And then he used to say, just throw out whatever hogwash ideas you have and catch a hold of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Like that, you know? Hogwash. So, you know, that's the same thing. In the beginning, Krishna doesn't give any philosophy in the beginning. He just says everything, just throw out all these hogwash ideas you have about protecting the women and all this stuff, because the fundamental principle is wrong. You started off with this basic idea that 1 + 1 = 3. So that everything else is, you know. So what is this fundamental mistake? You
know? He was doing it by his own endeavor. He wants to be himself.
Yeah, what Krishna doesn't go that far so much. He can go a little bit less than that. Well, Krishna starts chastising for something even less than that. You know?
Yeah, he chastised you since you are a kshatriya.
No?
Are you speaking in that?
Yeah, because this whole thing is based on the thing that, you know, Sochayan Amasocha Stvam, Pragnya Bhashtam Shabhasya Che, Gata Sunza Katasun Cha, Nanu Sochati Panditaha. If you're lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamentation, the wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. You know? And again, it's like, you know, two cops are there in New York, and one guy's giving this philosophy, and the other guy says, hey, Rabbi. You know, it's just sarcastic. So he says, Pundit, hey Pundit, you know, when you're just always weapons and everything else. Hey Rabbi, you know. It's sarcastic, Prabhupada says that. You can say, hey Pundit, you know, coming to fight. You know? Actually, there's several lectures on these first verses like that, probably really nice lectures. So the first thing he says, he gives some real good extended explanation, right? That you're not the body, like that. The body changes. And then the second half, and he talks about Buddha Yoga. Yeah. So what does he say about Buddha Yoga? Yeah. What does he say about it? It's the first yoga. Buddhism. We start off with Buddhism. Yeah. What does he say about Buddha Yoga? What is Buddha Yoga? How many verses define Buddha Yoga? You know? What is Buddha Yoga? No, not really. That's going to come later. Okay. about 35 is where it breaks. Yeah. Ah, we're getting close. This is that's where he's talking about how great Buddha Yoga is and what happens to those who don't follow Buddha Yoga. But what is Buddha Yoga? Yeah. He finishes off the first section. He says, do thou fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat. And by this, you would never incur sin. But that's actually almost the Buddha Yoga then. You know? Thus I have described Sankhya. Now I will describe how you can work without bondage. That's the thing. Do your work without bondage. There's no loss or diminution. Those people who are on this path have a resolute intelligence. Other people have multi-intelligence. You know? Men with small intelligence are attracted to the Vedas. Yeah. They talk all about this opulence and material things and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Become free from these dualities, and anxiety for gain and safety become established in the self. And then everything can be accomplished by understanding Buddhi Yoga. And here it is, like 247, where he says it. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty. What is your prescribed duty? Sorry, time's up.
Okay.
Yeah, what is the prescribed duty he's talking about here? This is Kshatriya Dharma, right? What is your prescribed duty?
Yeah,
that kind of is very simple. You think about, I should go to school, I should study, Like that's Varnashram system. It's described all over the world. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, okay? But you are not entitled to the fruits of action. If your kids come out intelligent and good and everything else, you can't claim now. Now you got to take care of me because I took care of you. Nope. Never consider yourself the cause or the result of your action. Yeah. There's so many living entities cooperating to make this world work, right? Bacteria, frogs, birds, politicians. So how can I think that I'm doing this, right? So three things. You have a right to do your duty, don't claim the fruits, and don't think that you're the independent cause of all these things by yourself. And never be attached to not doing your duty. Right? So I think that's where I describe Buddha Yoga. And many people, I think, they say this is all there is to Bhagavad Gita. I mean, one girl said she had her school, she was a teacher, and they had us bags to give everybody. It was, do your duty like that, because it's your duty. So then he goes on like that, and he finishes off with this great verse in the end. He says, if you follow these things, then Brahma Nirvana Adigachati, which means? Yeah, probably says to the kingdom of God, say that. Which all the Buddhists would die, just die if they heard that definition of Nirvana. Nirvana, the kingdom of Brahma Nirvana, the kingdom of God. Yeah?
Very often, people give this to the tiny verse for family or whatever.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between this and what's
presented later on? And Bodhi Yoga? Well, because in 330, the next verse is Karma Yoga, right? Yeah. And at the end of this chapter, I was thinking, well, this is not clear. I can apply this. That's kind of blasphemous to think that. The Prabhupada says the same thing. Arjuna, Krishna hasn't been specific enough. And so then Arjuna is asking this to make it more clear. Because you say that engaging in sense gratification, all this violence for money, wealth, proper prestige, you shouldn't do that. But you're just telling them to fight the war. Like that. Yeah? And so what's we're supposed to do? So in chapter 3, then he says you should do your Kshatriya Dharma. And I say 330, I think, is the first place where pretty much the whole Bhagavad Gita is summarized. Mayi, Karmani, Sarvani. And he's defining karma here as dharma, as varnashram dharma, clearly. So do your kshatriya karma for me. Well, who is Krishna? I think in chapters, different chapters give us some idea like that.
So the karma yoga is more of a specification of the general idea of the yoga presented.
Well, Prabhupada says the yoga ladder, it's all yoga. But if you're linking up level is mostly through fruitive activities, it's called karma yoga. But if you start to link up like this, this is jnana yoga. And you start to link up, through meditation. Just let my mind and intelligence work by themselves and my activity. I'll just always be focusing on Krishna, and jnana yoga. But it's yoga ruksha. Okay. Yoga ruksha. Okay. And so then, with pure bhakti yoga, then it has its own specific, things like that. So it's all yoga. There's karma, jnana, dhyana, yoga. Karma yoga, jnana yoga. Because with yoga, you have to have some idea what the goal is. Otherwise, how are you going to yoga? How are you going to link? It's like that. But it may not be specific. It may be general and stuff. It needs to become more clear. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And then in the end, it's like, I don't feel that's
No. So again, Bhagavad Gita is the ABC.
Yeah.
And because you know your ABCs doesn't mean you can write the works of Shakespeare. Well, Shakespeare's made ABC. That's all there is. An ABC I can do. No, you've got to understand, you know, so many details like that. In Prabhupada's purports, he gives details like that. You shouldn't work for, you know, businesses which are in tamasic and these kind of things like that. You know? And he says also prasadam, you should offer food to Krishna. But it doesn't. I mean, it's just, it doesn't tell you how to offer food or all that kind of stuff. It tells you you should find a guru, you know, like that. You know? So this way then we come in contact with Parampara, Lord Chaitanya. And then he gives a practical thing. You know, we should get up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, read Prabhupada's books, and then find some relationship with the Sankirtan movement. And then maybe just like, you know, coming when I can and giving donations and stuff like that. And then, you know, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam. And Krishna gives you intelligence, you know, through the devotees, through the book, and through your own heart, how you can go closer. Well, Prabhupada said, yeah.
I mean, it just seems like through attraction, you become attracted to Krishna. If you chew a bottle from other books, and then it kind of forces you out of harmony.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all yoga. But if your knowledge is not very, many people come and just kind of do it, they don't understand what's going on really. Okay, they're connected up somehow or other. If you just come and bow down, you're imperceptibly liberated. But they don't really know it. They haven't got jnana. They don't really know why analytically what's going on, who's God, why the demigods, Krishna, why he's Bhagavan, you know. That's important, you know, you can link up, you know. So in the beginning people may be engaged in this become some sentiment or something else like that. You know? It's kind of general vague idea. You know? But as you get a clear, you know, logical understanding, it helps you. Okay, now I can really, really engage in meditation, smart, and I'm always, you know, like always gonna think about Krishna intensely. You know, by chanting, by my schedule, by, you know, like that. Prabhupada says the activities in bhakti yoga always force the practitioner onto the middle platform. It's forcing you. So you're wondering, well, why am I making circles with this fire? why am I making different circles with this incense? Like that? You think, why am I doing that? You think you have to develop some kind of like idea, feeling, meditation. Otherwise, how long can you? You can do it, I guess. You can just do it again and again. You know, this kind of again, karma yoga. Just my karma. You know, be a pujari. You know, but then why am I doing this? You know, it's a natural step. It just forces you to go ahead and think, why am I doing this? What does it mean? Yeah, a waiting list.
Yeah.
What is anyabilasi tarshunyam jnana karmari navritam anukulina krishna nu shilanam bhakti uttama. Supa Goswami gives this definition. What is bhakti yoga? First class uttama bhakti. You know? And you have to be engaged in some empowered activity, you know, for Krishna. You know, coming to the parampara with a conscious intention to please Krishna. So in the beginning you may be doing it for liberation because it makes you feel really good or something like that, you know, and, you know, like that, benefits, you know. I won't go to hell, my family won't go to hell, you know. But then after a while you begin to really want to do it to please Krishna. And it's a different thing. One definition I heard is that karma yoga is doing what you like to do for Krishna. And bhakti yoga is doing what Krishna likes you to do for Krishna. So I want to offer pizza and fresh green salad for Krishna. But Krishna may not like that. wants all this stupid Indian food. Okay, so, you know. It's a good offer. I've heard Prabhupada joke one time and said Krishna took a birth in North India because he doesn't like rice or something like that. He's like, you know, he likes, you know, chapati, samosa, these kind of things. So. Maybe, yeah.
I welcome this to the list of nice
dishes for Krishna. Tantra would say this is what you should cook, like that, so on, you know. For example, we don't cook like, what do you call it, you know, we don't cook garlic and onions for Krishna, you know. But we've got also red peppers and ginger. So there are things described. So then, you know, Charya gives us some standard and things like that. So the beginning level of bhakti yoga is vaidhi bhakti, following rules and regulations, you know, from some acharya. The first rule is to get an acharya. the Prophet Muhammad, may his name be blessed. You know, okay, get an acharya, you know, and then clearly understand what the contract is, what he wants to. Let's take initiation, right? Yeah, yeah. And after that, we have so many things like that, progressive, you know. Yeah. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. And that will take you off the gross platform. You get liberated, right? You get liberated. Then you can start, and that will actually take you all the way to the spiritual world. You know, wake up our feelings. It's basically overcoming amnesia is all we're talking about. Yoga. Reconnect. Yeah. And so the regulative principles have this thing of stimulating, you know, our actual position. You don't have to learn anything, right? Because you know who you are, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, remember. Oh, yeah. Sit down. Okay. You know. How do I? Yeah. So regular principles will take you to Vaikuntha, and Raghunuga Bhakti then following the, will accelerate that, is following some advanced devotee, yeah? Or else Tugaloka. Yeah. And one chapter was Bhakti Yoga, chapter 12, Krishna says, you know it's completely, let's look it up right here, okay. Let's jump right ahead, chapter 12. Okay, oh yeah. Disfixture, there's no Sanskrit in this book. Disfix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me, thus you will live with me always without a doubt. Okay. Next verse. My dear Arjuna, winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. They want your blood. In this verse, two different processes of Bhakti Yoga are indicated. The first applies to one who has actually developed attachment for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by transcendental love, and the other is for one who has not developed an attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by transcendental love. For the second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be elevated, ultimately, to the stage of attachment for Krishna. Like that, you know? So then the acharyas give that. You know, offer this bread and wine, and offer in remembrance of me. There's a whole system. And was it the Dominican? You know that guy? It was a real, real common sadhana bhakti for guys in Europe. It was many orders used it, I think. It was daily schedule, yearly schedule. The Dominican one? Yeah. And he told them to do this, like that. You can drink wine a little bit, but obviously for digestion and because it's so cold in those places. You have to eat meat, nothing else to eat, so take a little wine. You know, that was he described, like these things like that. You know. And in Egypt, there was Christians in Egypt, and they didn't have to drink wine because it wasn't that cold. You know. So, the orders, Dominican orders of Dominican, Dominicans? Yeah. But anyway, this is described. Different acharyas give you systems like that. Franciscans have their system. There was a system for monks, a system for nuns, and a system for grihasthas. You know, all three orders are like that. What is the name of the nuns, their order? You know? Yeah. Poor Clares. Yeah. But then there's a third one, which they're called white something. White monks, white nuns. They wear white, all white. That was the idea. The Vihasa should wear all white. Yeah. Yeah. So he's an acharya. Yeah. Yeah. Part of the system. Wow. So he's in the middle of there. Yeah.
So I didn't understand the yoga part. So I can overcome my actions and now my thinking and meditation. Would be more like a wisdom.
I think the Buddha yoga he's here basically is the same thing Buddha says. Buddha says you should look at the world from 2 inches behind your eyeballs. Right? Can you do that? Fine. Yeah. Then you're conscious of being conscious of your senses rather than just falling into them like that. Or he says everything, you know, when one should make sure mind is engaged before tongue is in motion. Right? Yeah. This is a Buddha. Just stay on the intellectual platform. Don't become a servant of the senses and sense desires. Always just kind of consider everything like that. You know?
Sorry,
just fight for the fight, for sake of fighting, you know, this, yeah. No, it's kind of this gyan process of just analyzing things, looking at them. Buddhi means, you know, wisdom, right? Yeah, jnana, enlightenment. Yeah. But, you know, Prabhupada's, I think even if you look at the original Sanskrit, many times he's giving an advanced definition of these things. You have a right to prescribe your prescribed duty and all that kind of stuff like that. Because in the beginning, it's, you know, he's taking Arjuna gradually like that, through different levels like that. Very clear, you know, sarva dharma parit jaw jaw. You know, yeah. No, it's the second half of the second chapter. He says, now I've described this, and then Prabhupada calls it, because he says your intelligence will not be bewildered, and this kind of stuff like that. You know, this is called buddhi yoga. You know? But yeah. There's no Sanskrit in this part. Yeah. It could be. You know, because again, there's no Sanskrit in this book. It's hard to look up the exact thing. Yes. But this is a new one because the idea was it was made it accessible because it was cheaper. You know, it was a good, a big variety of books. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those two, I've heard it before, I never knew where it was from, you know. Yeah, because he's God, you know. No, one of our life member was like a friend of the community in Berkeley. We had a home program on some Saturday. And somebody asked him, "What's your favorite verse in Bhagavad Gita?" And he says, "Oh, where Krishna says, 'Do whatever you want to do.'" I think, let me say that in Bhagavad Gita. And he shows it. Krishna says, "Okay, now I've explained everything to you, but do what you want to do. But if you don't follow my instructions, you'll be lost, damned, doomed forever, and your soul will be disappearing into the darkness of oblivion forever. You know, so do what you want to do." But it's that sense that, you know, I'm telling you, you're going to go to hell. You know, so I demand this of you. But the thing is, both are there. Krishna is God. He demands things, you know, but also he wants it. And that's kind of like contradictory. And yeah. Well, it's sarva dharma paripya ja, mami kam sharanam varaja. He says it. You know? Not saying I want this. He says you do this. You know? In the end, yeah, he gives us free will, you know. But he says, you know, you're not going to be happy. You're going to go, I cast them forever into lower species of life. You know, those who don't.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, many, many times again and again like that. But maybe the wanting verse is maybe what's kind of missing in that sense that Krishna, he actually wants this. You know, he likes this. He wants us to be his friend. He actually feels, you know, what's the word? Grateful when we offer things to him and are his friend. You know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And that's the point. Is that, but in Krishna's personality, it can occur like that. You know? And how it manifests and stuff like that is a little mysterious. You know? Yeah. Yeah, but it is. Yeah.
Also, it's interesting that the Sarvadharma Manana, they come after he says, "I'm done, and you can do whatever you like."
Yeah.
And it's kind of like he's in a sense, he's showing his want because he's saying, you know, okay, I'm done, you can do whatever you like, I'm not really involved.
Yeah.
And it's up to you and you've understood everything. But if you really want to know what I feel, then here's...
The Prabhupada says that. He says everything's actually, the 18th chapter, he says everything's already finished. But now Krishna's you know, going over it again like that. You know? That's the way, you know, things go on. In German. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Do not lament. The wise men do not lament for dead only.
Yeah.
And then maybe in chapter, kind of like a Brahma Bhuta Vashanathana, so Chakina Kanchi.
Yeah.
So that situation where Krishna is expecting Arjuna not to lament
for
dead or living, that comes when you Brahma Bhuta.
Yeah.
So it's like to attain that position,
do
not lament.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you surrender unto Him, come, let us reason together. You know, but by transcendental knowledge, all the reactions are burned up to ashes. So one can very, you know, we quickly becomes righteous, O son of Kunti, and attains lasting peace. So it can happen quickly by transcendental knowledge. I know, but it's also that word sochati, it occurs in several places in that one section like that. Yeah. Don't lament. Yeah. Yeah. So the thing is, it was like, you know, like tying your shoelaces. You know, you pull them up and you pull them up more. It's just like, you know, first you become a little Brahma Bhuta and you don't lament. Because you're not lamenting, you become a little more Brahma Bhuta. Because you're a little more Brahma Bhuta, you don't lament so much. It's, you know, it's just like Yajna Prasado, Bhagavat Prasado. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets the mercy of the spiritual master. It's just, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, I don't know, but it's just like they're both required. You know, you get a little bit of this, and then it comes. You know, you get more of that, and it comes. You
know? In chapter 7, it talks about Brahmajyoti, or the absolute truth. So how would you think, like, karma yoga is what keeps you away from it? How can you achieve Brahmajyoti if you're always caught up in doing your duty?
No, well, everything's coming from Krishna, right? You know, and so for the Dharma, Varnashram system is actually coming from Him, and so it's like the law of gravity. You know, it's everywhere. You know, and so
yeah.
No, they're a part of the material world, like that. And so when we get in harmony with them, it helps us. This is how you should act. Then we begin to see, like, you know, we begin to experience the Brahma Jyoti. You know, like that. Again, the dharma, for example, the Kshatriya's dharma is to, you know, is to fight for the right cause, whether it's like, you know, wrong, whether he's like going to be profitable or unprofitable. You know, so that's Brahman realization. It's fixed, eternal. You know, brother, let us fight for the revolution. You or I may die, but the revolution will go on forever. And that's Brahman. It's Sat. And there is a reality. And so by engaging our property as a duty in Varna Ashram, then we begin to see, yes, if this, what I'm doing is a principle. I'm doing this on principle. I'm not doing it on specific reactions and stuff like that. Kshatriya has a duty, and that duty is related to the welfare and the activity of the world, the universe. Like that. If I stand now, and my duty is a Kshatriya, then, you know, then Dharma will survive. We may die, brother, let's go and die. Die for Dharma. You know, Dharma protects those who protect Dharma. This is Brahman. There's no form in Brahman, in Brahma Jyoti. There's only absolute existence. But in our material life, we have absolutely no existence. It's the hope we're being destroyed. If I don't go to work, I'll lose my job, and I'll be on the street, or, you know, my family will abandon me. No, if you're disoriented, you know, with these material things, and you don't see things properly. So Varna Ashram is Dharma. It's Karma Yoga. Varna Ashram Dharma is Karma Yoga. It's do your duty properly, because Krishna sets it up in a certain way, then you get jnana. You know, you understand. Well, this is how everything works. There is a reality. You know, Buddha says, there is no reality. Your family is not real. Your nation is not real. Your body is not real. Buddha is not real. You know, so with paranoia, then Shankara comes along and says, no, there's a reality. Brahma Satya, Jagat Mithya, Brahma Satya. What is it? No, let's not talk about that. There is a reality. Oh, wow, you know. Sat. Then after that, you begin to see that reality has form, structure, you know, like that, you know. Chit, you know, like that. And then finally, if you have a proper relationship with that ananda. Prabhupada gives the example, you realize there's suji, right? You know, harina. There's a spoon. There's a one pot for boiling water, one pot for frying, there's a fire, there's butter, you know? What do we have? Halava. That's ananda. So chit means realizing all these things exist. They exist, and also they have this form and stuff like that. But when I put them together properly, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Bhokta ram yagatapasyam sarva loka maheshwar. Everything belongs to him. Suhidam sarva dehinam. He's everybody's best friend. Once I just apply these principles, I have to take care of my children. You know, no, I'm not their best friend. You tell them that. I'll misunderstand you. I'll do things wrong like that. And, but I'm an agent of God. But you have another father who will always take care of you. Never, you know, like that. So it's sacrifice. You know? But then everything works out. Your parents realize your position. Your children realize your position. And, you know, you're a limited representative. You know, and you realize God. And I'm a servant of Krishna. And Krishna's ordering. Now I want to do this. I want to do that. I want this to be done. I want this to be done. Yes, sir. Whatever you want. Yeah? I want you to, you know, go to South America with Han Pirsakswami. preaching program. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah? He's the master. And we always, you know, well, you know, because he's original. He's ordering. Right? I said, Hansa did tell one story. Apparently came from, Shri Ramayana was told, was apparently Bhaktisiddhanta said, that one king came to England, and they were showing him around everything. He was a pretty powerful guy, so they wanted to, like, impress him and show him everything properly like that. You know? And they took him to the Tower of London, where was this guillotine for chopping people's heads off, you know, criminals. And he said, oh, show me how it works. And he went to chop somebody's head off. Yeah. He said, well, we can't just chop somebody's head off. And he said, oh, you don't know what it means to be a king. Full absolute monarch. And so that's Krishna. You know, there are details and stuff like that, you know. So basically at some point we realize that, yes, he's the boss. He has a right to demand. Whether it's right or wrong or arrogant or humble or whatever, Krishna says, do this, I demand it. Yes, sir. Yeah. But simultaneously he also, that's not, you know, who he is. You know? Simultaneously, there's a chintabeda beta tattva. 100% he's also just, you know, he wants our affection. Doesn't want to demand it.
Does it refer to an authority?
I understand what verse you get in the
Bhagavad. It's chapter 7.
But it's a big chapter though, you know. Right? There are many things
first.
Huh? First verse?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maya Sakta Manaparta Yoga Yunjam Marashvaya Ashangshaya Samangaraj Mam Yatha Nyajnasi Tatranu. Now hear, O son of Prithu, by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full. Mam, Mayi. So there's no Brahma Jyoti here, this is Krishna. Huh? Oh, okay. In the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. It's a nice chapter. Krishna is full in all opulences. And how he manifests such opulences is described here. Four kinds of fortunate people will become attached. Four kinds of fortunate people will never become attached. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul, capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yoga. At the end of the sixth chapter, it's clearly stated a steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest of all yogas. Okay, yeah. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute, the truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma Jyoti, or localized Paramatma realization, is not perfect knowledge of Krishna, because it is partial. Full scientific knowledge of Krishna and everything is full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. You know? In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is the ultimate goal beyond doubt. Different types of yoga are stepping stones. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness, he automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in the full. Yeah?
Yeah.
That one, yeah. So it probably gives an example. It's all Krishna, you know. But, if for example, if I know the light and the filament, then I can see this is where the light's coming from in the room, right? But then this is the source, you know, it has a filament like that. And that's why it is a certain color. So there's an example that some people hear that the British are going to put in a railroad. Well, what is that? Well, these village people are there. And they see them cutting through the mountains, and they put in these two tracks like that. They're all speculating, well, what is a railroad? You know, they say, well, you know, on Friday at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the railroad train will come. You know? So at 5 o'clock, nothing's happened. So it's the beginning of the railroad, Indian railroad system. So 6 o'clock. Finally, at 6 o'clock, 6:30, you see way off in the mountain there, there's this like cloud of smoke moving along the railroad track. And they want to go home and have dinner. And they say, okay, we'll tell everybody we saw it. The railroad train is a cloud of smoke that moves along the railroad track. Okay, you know. Okay. Other guys stay a little longer. Their wives can't cook so well. You know, things like that, you know. And they begin to see, oh, it's a snake. Yeah, behind the cloud of smoke is a snake that moves along the railroad track. Oh, let's go, you know. And finally, some people wait. The thing stops. There's an engineer inside the thing. There's a dining car. There are people reading. There's, you know, cargo things, people unloading. So this is Brahman. It's a general understanding. You know, there is a reality. Now, Paramatma, it has form, detailed. Krishna's in our heart, he can give us directions like that. But we just, not like, you know, wanting to serve him, you know, so much. And then so finally, then in Bhagavan, when we want to serve him, then we can see all of his features. You know? What does he like? What does he need? What does he want? You know? So this is Brahman. You know, Brahman realization is just this, that basically there is a reality. You know? Mr. Natural, hippie hero. It's a cartoon character. He said things like, you know, there's always a bus. Don't worry, there's always another bus coming. You know, you're going to have to wait like 24 hours. But, you know, so this is the kind of thing that we'll see. Don't worry, there's always another bus coming. You know? Yeah, because this, what's the guy, Whitehead? What was his name? Alfred North Whitehead? Who was his student? Famous philanderer, Nobel laureate, philosopher. Bertrand Russell. Yeah, Bertrand Russell was his student, and then later on they did some things together. And he was always kind of criticizing him, because Whitehead was actually a theistic guy. But he said, there is no inevitability as long as there is a willingness to contemplate the present. Like that. And I mean, many times it comes to my mind when there's a panic situation, it was like, we're all going to die, or something like that, you know? But then you say, no, just calm down and just like contemplate what's happening, just Brahman. Actually more Paramatma. Yeah, many actually very clear realizations, yeah, and time and everything. But then at that point you begin to see, no, there's reality. And another one, Ram tells Lakshman, there's no sin, no mistake, that anybody can do that cannot be corrected. You know? Oh, what a relief. This is Brahman. Things can be adjusted always. Okay, what do I got to do? And that's Paramatma like that, you know? And then finally is the thing is, I'm not the enjoyer of this, some good result. I'm not the enjoyer. Is this, why am I doing this? Well, for Krishna. Then automatically I'm detached from the result. Let's solve this problem for Krishna. Well, how do you know when Krishna's happy? How do you know when Krishna's happy? Huh? He smiles. Very simply, look at him. Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
This
is what?
Bhagavan.
Yeah. I mean, because he's giving it for people who don't want to take that. He's offering the highest thing. You know?
Yeah. Some things are bhakti process.
Yeah.
Gets us face to face with Bhagavan.
Yeah. Yeah. Bhakti yoga.
Yeah. But I'm just curious. So we practice Bhagavan realization.
Yeah.
You mentioned yesterday the Bhagavan realization.
Yeah.
I can see him.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm saying that suppose we in that relation, Paramatma position is there.
Yeah.
But I've never experienced darker people, but I've never experienced the Paramatma inside.
Yeah.
So even though it's a union of realization, you should already have that.
In the beginning, we're just engaged, you know, what do I have to do, this and that, I'm the controller, I'm God. No, in the beginning, somebody is usually, Charya comes along and just engages people. They like the, you know, why are you going? Well, really, honestly, because of the good food and good music. I go there. And I understand the philosophy a little bit, like this and that, but, you know, something, you know. So in the beginning, Shambhatam Swakata Krishna Punya Swavana Kirtana. Whether you know it or not, by this stuff, you're becoming free from this ignorance which makes you identify with the body. You know? And then you start to come to a point where you can start to begin to understand the philosophy, and it starts to become ecstatic. You know? My first temple president, Bhakti Das, he said he was in the temple in San Diego for about 3 weeks before he finally realized that Radha Giridhari were different than a picture. You know? If somebody comes in with a gun and starts to blow holes in pictures, you may like duck and run out. But if someone comes in and starts to blow a hole in Monkey B. Dar, you may just stand in front of him and pray that somebody else will grab him after that, you know? Because it's different, you know? So at that point, we begin to realize that the deities are spiritual or something like that. We just don't act like this and that. So in the beginning, it's, you know, it's Brahma Bhuta. You may have some taste, some idea. Another kind of contrary example is, what's his name? Walt Whitman, you see, well, he said, life is a road. You're going out, you say, I see so many men, so many women, the same situations again and again, but each time higher. It's a spiral like that. I've been in the same situation with different people and different women and stuff like that, and men. Same thing again, but this is different now when I'm 40 than when I was 20, you know? So he said, life is a road, you know, and the same things again and again, but higher, higher. You know? He says, where does it go? He says, I don't know, but it goes someplace good. So what is he? Is he a karmi? No, he's going. He wants to go up. You know, he's say a jnani like that. But he hasn't had this experience of the conclusion. So if you get this experience of the conclusion, Brahmandi Brahmatikon Bhagyavan Jeev, you get this experience, then even though you have to go through these lower things, you got to stop smoking, you got to this and that. You know, then you always can remember that bija and keep not offensive. That's the main thing. You always kind of cultivate that. That's why I'm going here. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm doing that. But somebody else, he doesn't have that. So, but he knows you have to go up. You know, he knows you have to do austerities and this kind of thing. So he's a jnani, a wise man. You know? And again, maybe it's more, you know, some little bit of knowledge, not much. You know, the bija, like that, different people. You know? So Paramatma, Prabhupada says one time, is form direction from the super soul. Again, you know, the Vishnumurti with four arms and stuff like that in your heart, maybe you'll see that. But more likely, it's just this, you just, you know, there is a reality. No, now I know that this is what I should do, you know. One guy, he came in the temple in Berkeley Sunday morning. You know, this is about a sunny day in the lobby. A big, tall, black guy, you know. And he was sitting there, myself and two brahmacharis, all brahmacharis sitting there, and he came in and, you know, he said, I'm the grandson of the Prince of Haiti. He looked like he might have been, you know. And he said, and I died. And that looked kind of unlikely. But in Berkeley, you don't challenge people about these things like that. You know? So, and he explained was he had died. You know, and the doctor came and took his pulse, and there was no pulse. You know, so they took him off the hospital, and the, you know, nurse was there reading her Ladies' Day magazine or Red Book, whatever it is, like, you know, and chuck him in, chuck him out. So they put him in one drawer, maybe like, you know, 10 drawers, and she's sitting there. And after some time, she hears this like kind of scratching sound, like, you know, she's reading her magazine like that. You know? And she went over, like, listening to each drawer, and she came to his drawer, and she pulled it out, pulled it open. And he said he sat up, and then she screamed. You know, you see, her hair turned white, which actually just happens like that. And then he screamed, you know. And, but she said, the next thing, her intelligence kicked in, that, you know, obviously he was in, the heart slows down sometimes. We get, like, one beat every 40 seconds or something like that. And it keeps you alive, you know. But, you know, doctor sometimes, he's not real careful, you know, won't catch it, you know. So his heart had started accelerating again, and the adrenaline and all this kind of stuff. And, but he said when he was in that condition, he came in contact with, you know, whatever, my higher self, the God within, so many names, the psychologist within, the Lady Luck. You know, gamblers really get this feeling, you know, the Paramatma says, okay, throw it. And many times you see gamblers are very ethical people, you know. No, they give money in charity and stuff like that, and they get a certain rule with this thing, that if they're not using the money properly, they won't get the feeling like that and stuff. You know, they're very, you know, professional gamblers. You know? So anyway, because they got the Paramatma, you know, contact sometimes, and they know it's not there. I'm not living clean, you know. No, Prabhupada says this form directs. This is intelligence. This is right. This is wrong. Kapila's describing seeing the form of Vishnu in your heart, you know, forearmed like that. But that's generally what you see, okay, it's the first off is just nothing, you know. And you begin to see that the deities are actually spiritual, you know. really actually begin to see that they have form. They're happy sometimes. I've been doing some things, you know, I come in and look at Krishna, and yep, he's not happy with me. Or I've been doing something else, I come in and he's being merciful. How he comes, you know, like that, I feel. So you begin to see, you know, nama, rupa, the form starts to manifest like that. And then, but it's more like, again, just intelligence. And finally you see a person, you know, like that. So if you see Krishna as a person, you know, pratimanahatumi, Sakshad Vajendra Nandana. You're not a statue, you're directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Jayananda said one time, the devotee asked, Sunday feast, San Francisco, and they had Jagannath for some time. I don't think they even had clothes on him but then. One person asked, he says, Swamiji, what does Lord Jagannath look like when you're self-realized? And so Prabhupada looked over, like I look at your Srihari, oh, he has tilak on, big marks, has just, you know, Uttariya top, like that, no shirt, hasn't got any rings, hasn't got a wristwatch. He's a really good-looking nose. His ears are pretty nice, like that. So it's just like, you know, Prabhupada just looked over at Jagannath and said, oh, you'll see a prince of Kurukshetra surrounded by warriors with beautiful armor. It was just exactly like that, like he was just describing what he was seeing, you know. And nobody else was seeing that, you know. So that's, you know, that's the Bhagavan. Why? Because Krishna knows you don't want to steal his jewelry. You don't want to, you know, blaspheme him. You know, so he shows his opulence. You know? And it's full of form. So when it comes to this point of just knowing Krishna, Vishuddhasattva, at that point, Devasa Muni was seeing Vishnu face to face, you know, but there was no Ananda. Probably Lakshmi was there, and he just didn't appreciate, you know, the function of Lakshmi, you know, of Ananda Shakti, what was that? You know, Ananda Maya Shakti. Yeah. So that's, you know, he could see him, Satchit. And Kapila says the same thing. At that point, you'll see the Paramatma on your heart. And I'm not sure how it manifests as the forearm form and stuff like that. But there will be no Ananda, no feeling. You just keep on meditating. And at some point, some little bhava will come. And that will then, you know, then that's bhava bhakti. At that point, you've got to stimulate that. No more matches in the wood. It's already, you know, you get a fire going, keep throwing matches on it. People think you're nuts, you know. I even got a real fire. Just pour the wood on. No, it'll smother it. You know, blow it hot. No, you got to just the right amount of air. Because now we got a fire. We have real bhava. Real sentiments are coming. My sentiments. You know, I'm not practicing anymore. It's not sadhana. But then there's things, you know, that you got to increase it. You know, there's rules and regulations at that point. To combine together different vibhava, sattvika bhava. So the Paramatma, it's that point when we see that, no, he's a person. There's knowledge, you know, about the form, like that. He's like this, he's like that, you know, so on. And he can come and go, you know. But we find he's this monkey, you know, in the pure devotee, he doesn't see a statue, you know, he sees Krishna, you know. But, you know, to live in the material world, it's like, what's his name, Bhakti Das Babaji? He's an example of somebody who was not coming down to the Madhyamadikari platform to preach, you know. He was just always gone, like that. You seen pictures of him drawing? He's a real big guy, you know, like Afro. If you saw him, you'd think he was some street guy, some nut, you know, mad guy. Just, you know, kind of, we would just wear like whatever clothes or things he had. Some servants were there helping him. But he had what was his deity? You know? He had Gornatai, but also the main deity? It was Bhansi Gopal. He had Gopal. I understand how much he had a little Gopal, a lot of Gopal type. He was carrying, he would start walking and carrying him in his hand, like that. And he didn't chant japa, you know, didn't take baths, you know, didn't pass through urine. Yeah. But he would sit and talk to Gopal all day long, like that. Somebody would argue with him and stuff like that, you know. And somebody came and said, Babaji, I have this question about this and that. And the guy would say, what do you think about this question? It's pretty stupid, isn't it? If you just look at Bhagavad Gita 4:34, you'd find his answer. What an idiot, you know. And he wouldn't like talk, he wouldn't talk to anybody, pretty much, almost very little bit indirectly. And so he was seeing Gopal. He wasn't, you know, some people broke into his little cabin in Navadvip and stole the cooking pots, and he came back and accused Gornatai of selling them to buy sweets, you know. And he wouldn't cook for Gornatai until he confessed, and finally Nityananda confessed, and yes, that's what happened, but I didn't do it. I mean, it wasn't my idea, you know, it was me. Nimai's idea, you know. And he cooked for Nityananda, but wouldn't cook for Nimai until he confessed also. You know? Finally he confessed and promised he wouldn't do it anymore. You know? But that's, you know, it's actually, He's seeing that, you know, and he can prove it, you know. But then he has to stay on this platform of just, you know, he was gone. You know, his activities like that, rain's falling on him, doesn't even notice it. You know, so on. So maybe we may not see that all the time. Uttamadhikari will come back down to the Madhyamadhikari platform, and then he understands intelligently this is Gopal and stuff like that. And, you know, it's in this level now of not seeing Krishna as Krishna. Exactly. You know? Yeah. It's a statue like that. You know, for the benefit of others to be on this platform, go into ignorance. Prabhupada says that Krishna forgot, Arjuna forgot who Krishna was, but he never stopped loving him. You know, he lost his intellectual thing. He kind of gave up, he sacrificed that, but at heart, kind of, this is what Krishna wants. Krishna, I'm falling into illusion, but I'm not afraid because it's obvious this is what Krishna, and his heart, he understands, this is what Krishna wants. You know, he's I'm an illusion. This is because Krishna wants to speak the Bhagavad Gita. He wants me to act like the ordinary person in illusion. You know, so in his heart, he knows. You know, we're just playing. You know. So a pure devotee acts like an ordinary person. You know, loses his Bhagavan realization. No. One should. Okay. Prabhupada says there are people in the Brahma Jyoti. Prabhupada says that there are people in the Brahma Jyoti, yogis. And then sometimes Sankirtan parties come from the spiritual world, the material world, and they hear that and they make progress to Vaikuntha. Yeah. But the basic principle that I understand is this, that you know, whatever you have, you don't want to give it up. You know, you're not going to give it up. You know? So if Hanuman is like, you're not going to sacrifice being a servant of Ram, you know. But you can improve it. You know, like every day you're making an offering to the deities, you're not going to stop that. But rather, well, why not just get the deities their own plates? Okay. And when we're offering, well, let's get a, you know, some, make a little private place so they can, the curtains, so they can eat without being disturbed. Okay, let's have some music while they're eating. Okay, let's every day have this two subjects, you know. So you haven't given up the basic principle of, you know, of serving Krishna. But you're improving it. So your basic, everybody's basic rasa is your basic position is shanta rasa. Yeah. Shanta rasa means detachment from the matter and attachment to Krishna. So we explain that this is, maybe it's not a rasa, but that's everybody's basis, is you have to be detached from matter, unattached to Krishna. As it intensifies, and other things, you know, give an example, sugar candy, it's there. So the gopis never give up their surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. You know? So the first thing they think about when they think about Krishna is his lotus feet. You know, that, you know, the higher you go, the better your foundation. So there's nobody who's Shantarati is better than the gopis. They're attached to Krishna as their Lord. You know, forget it. You're not going to surpass them. You know? So same way, whatever you have, if you're in Vaikuntha, which is more elevated, Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri? Which is more elevated, Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri? Yeah, because Jagannath Puri is Vaikuntha. But within Jagannath Puri is the Gambira. Lord Chaitanya is just immersed in this ocean of separation from Krishna. And that's not even known in all of Vrindavan. Vrindavan, they don't know about this completely, the gopis' feelings of separation. You know? So, you know, within, that Jagannath Puri makes this trick, you know, of including within herself these feelings. So like that, you can go on, you know, you go on just improving, intensifying, like that. You know? But you don't give up anything. You know?
You don't find any sense of interplanetary travel.
Well, Gopakumar goes here and there. You know? Yeah. Uddhava goes from Dwarka to Vrindavan. You know, is he staying there still? Oh, Hanuman in Goloka, he's there.
No.
Yeah, yeah. The cowherd boys. The cowherd boys. They play Ram Lila. Yeah, like that. Oh, yeah. Huh?
Does
Ram
go to visit Krishna?
Yes, Ram.
Does Lord Ram go to visit Krishna?
There, again, that's a different time, but. I mean, if you go to Vrindavan, for example, in Vrindavan, there is Kamyavan. And in a Kamyavan, there's a Shokvan, there's Lanka. It's all there. But from that point of view, it's play, right? But that play becomes so intense. It's like you're playing with Krishna, and this giant duck comes over the horizon like that, stomping on everybody, and Krishna kills it. And, well, is it children's play, or is it a reality? You know? So everything is in Vrindavan. Vaikuntha is in Vrindavan. Can you go from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan? You're in Vaikuntha. You're in Vrindavan, you know? But it depends if you're going up like that, you know, or if you're coming down. Because Radha and Krishna, when they're playing these, and the cowherd boys, they're playing Ramlila, it's just so much fun, you know, that you never, never want to stop. Somebody, who is it, Sridham? No, it's Sudham. Because Sudama, Krishna rides on his shoulders, in there. But when Krishna is in Vaikuntha, he becomes Garuda, right? And when Krishna goes to the material world, he becomes the Boma Garuda. So it's all Sridham, Sudham. It's all Sudama. But in terms of Krishna's expanding, you know, and the pastimes in Vaikuntha are eternal. So he's eternally relishing these things. They all exist at the same time like that. You know? But some are more concentrated like that. You know? Like the light bulb and the filament, they all exist. You know? And so, but somebody can be in different kinds of consciousness. This is why we see so many people trying to participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. I mean, Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha Vasi is trying to participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. You know, Jaya and Bijaya, they agree to hang around one more incarnation, right? Just to be able to participate in Gaura Lila and get this experience. We're talking about it, but are we actually participating in it? A little bit, maybe some, you know. But actually, wow, you know. You know, but join. I mean, myself, even my Navadweep, I think, you know, it was kind of impersonalist sannyasi. Navadweep, and other people appreciate Navadweep more than Vrindavan, but I mean, kind of Vrindavan consciousness. Yeah. So then I can go on and prove that. Yeah. But you maybe some people shift, but you generally speaking, it says nobody gives anything up. So Hanuman, does Hanuman participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? Is Murari Gupta?
Yeah. But I mean, they come on the earth.
Yeah.
So when you go back, so my Kabam gets off in Nayodhya, and then somebody else goes up to Goloka, somebody goes to Krishna Loka, and things get off at different stops.
Mother Yashoda is asking baby Krishna, says, why are you always feeding yogurt to these monkeys? Monkeys, you know? He says, oh, because in the previous lifetime, they did so much service for me, and I was in the forest, and I couldn't give them anything. But now I'm very rich, and I can feed them, and just see how they're coming to take their reward. So these are the monkeys that were there, But sometimes it says these things are just like dreams. They appear like dreams. You forget, Akura came, and then everyone's dying. And then you can't live without it, Krishna comes back, and they go, it was just a bad dream or something, like that. I mean, actually, how these things exist on the spiritual platform. Yeah. But there's no time factor. It's more like it's all perspective, how you're looking at it. So this is Hanuman, this is Sugriva, this is, and now they're, Krishna's giving them yogurt from his hand like that. This is Bali, and now he's shooting Krishna in the foot. And he remembers when he was Bali.
So Krishna should be aimed for that. Krishna should be aimed for the world, or it doesn't matter?
What does Krishna want? What does Krishna demand?
But Rupa always said.
But
if you want to go to there.
But Prabhupada comes down to this, material kind. You see, Prabhupada's books, sometimes he's saying, nobody, not even Ram, just Krishna. Other times he's saying, well, the smarter Brahmins are actually okay. It depends on what's the necessity. If Krishna's coming, Krishna wants to play this Ram Leela, then some people just tumble right into it. And so some people, that's eternally where they are. But they're, again, this is the internal. Some people internally know that this is like Murari Gupta. He knew Lord Chaitanya was God, but at the same time too, he's telling him you should worship Radha and Krishna, And so he was trying to do that, but he couldn't do it because he was absorbed in that particular position. I think Ramananda Roy's conclusion, before he goes into these higher things, There's one verse where he says, tatastasta. From a neutral position, you can make these discriminations. This is like this is like that, you know. But he says, that's, you know, who's in a neutral position, really, you know. The grass knows what's going on, like that. But everybody else is just, and there, he says, the ultimate thing is, whatever is your position is the best position. It's not, Sanatana Goswami says, every single cowherd boy thinks, I'm Krishna's closest friend. When something really important to talk about it, he comes and talks to me about it. You know, just, I don't deserve this at all, but somehow or other, I'm Krishna's closest friend. You know? Then the next verse says, by the nature of the internal potency, it's a fact. You know, so every single cowherd boy is quote Krishna. So every single lila is the most supreme lila. I mean, you can make a whole, which is higher, you know, Sakya Ras or Madhurya Ras, you know. Well, people say that all of our Goswamis are emphasizing Madhurya Ras because they're all in Madhurya Ras. Like they all, you know. But if you look at the Mahesha Devotion, Prabhupada's talking about Sakya Ras, and he said it's a very special flavor which cannot be compared to anything else, and in some ways very similar to Madhurya Ras and stuff like that, you know. So the cowherd boys are kind of thinking these girls are, yeah, Madhurya Ras is nice, but a lot of times these girls are just silly and forget these girls, you know, let's just go and play, and, you know, Krishna says, yeah, this, there's a bunch of problems, you know. And so they're mixed, you know. I mean, sometimes the Sudama, and they're playing, and all the gopis come. They're just like the sisters of the god boys there, and the boys are fighting, and the gopis are on the side, like screaming and yelling, you know, do this, do that, and stuff. You know? So then they're mixing and stuff like that, you know. And afterwards they meet, and Krishna's with the gopis, and they're saying, wow, what do you think of today? They say, wow, you're really heroic today, and, you know. So they all, it all, you can't have one without the other. You know, Sakya Ras is, you know, is adding to enhance the, you know, the Madhurya Ras. You know? I mean, two guys, they go and play tennis together and stuff, and then their wives are watching, you know. So it's very Ras, but it's enhanced by, you know, feelings of the Madhurya Ras. You know? Yeah. So, you know, whatever, I mean, even that, whatever Krishna wants, well, more important than that is whatever Radharani wants, right? You know, Krishna may want this or that, but what is Radha saying? No, you can do this. Yeah. 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 So last two questions. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
I have two questions. One was, is there a different world of Brahma? Like different nuances?
Yeah. No, they're probably they're it's like putting on like Hamlet, right? I mean, every single Hamlet presentation is a little different, and maybe even something, you know, there are the differences. But basically, for example, Jai and Vijay, this time they fell down. So this time, Ravana and Kumbhakarna were actually Jai and Vijay. In other incarnations, they're not. They're actually other universes, other pastimes. They're just demons, like that. And there's plenty of one story where Prahlad Maharaj was feeling embarrassed that Ranikasi Pru, and that Nrisingadeva killed his father. He was thinking, all my family members are watching me, so I better fight with Nrisingadeva just to show them, like, something like that. You know. So, like that, there are varieties, you know, little differences and stuff. You know, it's one time Raha's red, one time he's white, you know. Yeah. Go. Gopal Kumar, this is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's so nice. It's Sanatana Goswami's explanation of these things, especially the bhakti part. So Gopal Kumar makes it to Vaikuntha. He's so happy. Narayan, 16 years old. It's like, you know, like, and Lakshmi's always so kind to him. And it's just like, you know, you're two, just these two boys, the boy and girl, but she's like everybody's mother. And everybody's all working and playing, and she's suddenly something happens, and she comes and talks to you, and you know. So he's very happy there, and so happy. You know? But same time, truly, he's always wanting to express his more intimate feelings with Narayan. And it's kind of inappropriate, people kind of looking at him, you know. And so then and Narayan inspires Narada Muni to go and talk to him because he knows he's not really belonging. He says that, Narada Muni comes to Gopakumar and says, you know, Narayan really likes your association. Everybody, we all like you here and playing with you and stuff, but it's just, this is not your position. And, you know, so really you should go to Goloka, you know. So then he says, okay, I can understand that, and so forth. And Narayan's gone someplace to take care of somebody. And Narada Muni says, you should go now. He says, why is that? Because if you come back, you won't be able to leave, because you'll be, because attraction's there. So he's kind of, it's kind of part of the reason he's gone now, is you can go without, you know, this. You know. So he says, okay, I'll go. And he says, where's it going? How do I get there? And he said, well, you should go to Ayodhya. And he said, wait a second, you told me to go to Goloka. Why are you sending me to Ayodhya? And Narada Muni kind of laughs and says, well, that's the quickest way. You know? So yeah, we have certain kinds of attractions and, you know, different reasons, many things like that, but maybe the fastest way, and Bhaktisiddhanta says the fastest thing is karma yoga. That's you figure out what your particular mundane materialistic passions are, and you just use those for Krishna. And that's what most of us are, like that. You know? Not trying to suppress them, you know. I was always trying to suppress eating sweets. It's all embarrassing, eating sweets, you know, like that. And this Ayurvedic doctor tells me, no, you're so cerebral, you know, you just burn sugar, you know. So you have to have, you know, you get headaches after lectures, you know. You know, so many things, yeah. So he said, but you just have to figure out how to get it in a good form rather than taking spoonfuls of sucrose like that. He's like, you know. No, you can, so many things like sweets and fruits and all this stuff. So a lot of it is just kind of like this, you know, cautiously letting go of my nature and then begin to see, well, this is who I really am, you know. Yeah, okay. So now how can I just use this in Krishna's service, you know. And then it's Varnashram, then we get liberated. And you go deeper and deeper into our real nature. And you start doing, okay, I'm attracted to certain pastimes. This is Raganuga. And I like these, and hearing about them. And then, yeah, Krishna's showing, these books are showing up. It's not like, he sent this book, you know. Wow, I can't stop reading this, you know. Yeah. And in the beginning, yeah, maybe that, you know, all the girls are attracted to the gopis' pastimes of Krishna, and all the boys are attracted to Krishna killing demons. You know, but that's, you know, but as it goes on, you begin to mature and realize that what I really like is Krishna just smashing the teeth out of demons like that and stuff, you know. And you have a female body. So then your Raganuga starts to go into your real bhava, you know, like that. And then finally your real bhava is there. And you're just flashing or just gradually maturing like that. You know? This is who I am. You know? Again, it's like Murari Gupta, Lord Chaitanya said, you should just worship, you know, Radha and Krishna is the highest perfection of artistry and these hell humors. And Murari Gupta is like, Lord Chaitanya's Nimai is like about maybe like 8 years old, and Murari Gupta is like 12 years old or something like that. So they're like, Sachi said, please go to school with him, make sure he doesn't, you know, protect him. And all the way back and forth, Nimai was always acting like an atheist, Lord Chaitanya. And Murari Gupta was just kind of this simple, you know, simple Ram Bhakta, you know. And so Nimai was always, you know, asking him, you know, arguing with him about, like, is there a God? Is there not a God? If there's a God, then why is this? And every day they'd go back and forth, and neither one would give up. They'd go home, and Murari Gupta was always thinking all night long about the arguments. The next day he'd come back and argue like that, you know. This little, he was like a younger kid like that, like arguing with Haladar or something like that, you know. Haladar's an atheist, you know. So it was, you know, just, it was just part of their whole rasa going back and forth to school, and more just arguments. So he was telling him like this, you should just worship Radha and Krishna. And he's appreciating, this person is not an ordinary person. He's, you know, like that. So he went home and he's trying to give up, you know, Ram, and comes back the next day and he says, just kill me. What do you mean? You know, because I cannot disobey your order. At the same time, I just cannot, I've sold my head at the feet of Raghunath, Ram. I just cannot lift it up, you know. So all I can do is, I can't disobey your order and I can't stop worshipping Ram. Lord Chaitanya laughing hysterically, you know, he's naughtily. And he says, of course not, because you're an incarnation of Hanuman. Oh, yeah, like that. So he says, even if I want you to come and participate in, you know, because I don't want you to give up, ultimately. I want you to be attached to me as Ram, because I like being Ram. I like playing like that. He likes coming to the material world. You know? So, but then sometimes, yes, you know, Hanuman's appreciating these pastimes and that emphasize, what do you call it? That augments. English, Spanish, aumenta. That augments his appreciation. if he needs it for his particular service and rasa and stuff, he knows what he needs to know. Do you think someone told about the Yashoda? Your boy goes out every night and dances with other people's wives. Do you think she knows that? No. She's like, it's not, she doesn't want to know that. That's not, you know, maybe something there, you know, like that. Something like that. But, you know, but it's just, no. So she doesn't know about, you know, about Hurya Ras, you know, Krishna. You know? So we jnana is secondary. We know what we need to know.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter when she sees Krishna at Kurukshetra, she sees Gopal, my little baby. You know, you know, her intelligence is that way. He's still Gopal. Does he have a cold? He's taking care of him properly. Subhadra, come here. You know, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. That's yeah.
In Goloka Vrindavan.
Yeah. Okay, from one point of view, everything is in Vrindavan, or it's just like, again, okay, this closet is, you know, is Boise, Idaho. This is, you know, it's all there. It's all coming from there. Okay. Huh? Yeah, I mean, so again, we explained this before, as I've understood this. Krishna says, everybody loves me. I know why, because I'm so great. You know, I'm kind, friendly, beautiful. Yeah. But when Radha, you know, loves me, my qualities actually increase. I look at her, that she, her love is so intense that she's increasing my, you know, my qualities. Now, I don't do it, she does it, you know, because of her intense love, you know. This is kind of, Ramakrishna's philosophy. That whatever form you choose to worship, will actually, God will take that form. Well, in some ways it's true, you know, with Radha, it's like she increases it. So he's trying to understand this, and he's walking to school with, you know, with Lalita and Vishaka, who are Radha's friends, and he's talking about this, and they say, well, you know, this and that, and she thinks like this and that, she feels like that, we girls think like this, we act like that, you know. And so it starts to become a heavy conversation. He said, come here, you know. So they go someplace, and then they're talking about this, you know. So that's a confidential part of Vrindavan, where Krishna's trying to understand, you know, Radharani's position, just really adopt it, you know. And that's the whole question of whether he's successful or not. You know, he can actually, you know, be successful. And then it's also time for the Yuga Avatar. So then he figures, okay, let me just do all these things. Let me, Yuga Avatar, he gives a Maha Mantra in the mood of Hari, Krishna, and Rama. But the Lord Chaitanya, and Krishna says, well, but I haven't given, you know, love in the mood of Vrindavan for a long time, so let me also go. I'll give the Maha Mantra, you know, it's the Yuga Dharma in the mood of Vrindavan. And also, you know, then he goes, let me do it in this confidential mood. You know, trying to, so he's also trying to, you know, hide out his Lord Chaitanya so nobody will know. You know? And then Vishaka and Lalita become Damodar and Ramananda. And so many people then participate, you know. Like that.
In the spiritual world itself, that chickenness, pastimes are going on.
Yeah. Why not? Just like this. No, where the material world is a part of Vaikuntha. Yeah. It's just like the city prison in Boise is a part of Boise, Idaho. Yeah. But it's a particular point for a certain kind of people. So describing it in the Vaikuntha, the material world is there. You know. But nobody's like interested, or maybe not even know where it is. You know, where is it? So it's somewhere around here. I don't know. It's over there. It's over there. Behind the, next to the Yasasan. So just like people, it's an insignificant portion of the spiritual world. But some people who want to play like this and try it out, and Krishna says, okay, there it is, you know, try it out, you know, I won't, you know, interfere, you know, but I'll come sometime, whatever, you know. Yeah? So everything is, you know, all the Vaikuntha lokas, realms, expand from Goloka.
You know. Krishna, maybe
Lord Chaitanya
also has his planet.
Well, see, we think a planet is a ball of dirt floating in space, you know. But the word is loka, you know. What is the locus of all points? The sum of the distance from two points of the constant.
Ellipse.
It's ellipse. You know, take two points. You to point to thumbtacks. That's how carpenters do it. Stretch your string, whatever your distance is, make a distance like that, and stretch it, and you get an ellipse. And by changing the distance between the two points and the length of the string, you can change your ellipse. But that's locus, right? And I think it's the same word as the word loca. You know, it means like that. It means like a realm, like, you know, like that. You know? So you know, the go loca. We're in go loca. We're in Brahma loca, right? We're in the United States of America. We're in Idaho. We're in Boise. We're in, you know, this temple, right? But we're also in Brahma loca right now, right? Yeah, but you know, it's one portion of it, which is, you know, like that, you know. But we're not in the White House. We're in the United States of America, but we're not in the White House. Yeah. So in Goloka, is from that point of view, everything is you see, not it's not exactly there, but everything is emanating from there. So everything is like a part of this same point. You know? Yeah. It's all just rays in the center. And so then, yeah, there's Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So somebody, Tamal Krishnamurti, said he asked Sridhar Maharaj, how does the Boma Lila appear in Vaikuntha? And he said, Pasu. He said, well, can you explain more? He said, well, this is like some lord. So I'd like to give you a Hare Krishna die. Some British officer, he has to kill some tiger who's attacking people and got cows. So he goes out there and he finally shoots the beast, you know, like that. And he's standing there with his foot on the tiger's head, and you know, his Indian gun bearers are there, you know, like that. You know, so he goes back to London after, you know, 5 years, and he shows all the ladies in the Buckingham Palace or whatever, and they're saying, "Oh, you're so brave. He's so big, you know, big." So in the same way, Nisringadeva's pastimes are in Vaikuntha, but he's not throwing intestines all over Vaikuntha and stuff. It's like a picture or something like that. The opposite side is that Bunky Bihari are having all these pastimes, but they're, you know, until the doors are closed at night. Are they gone? They're gone. Okay, let's go. You know, yeah. Is anybody in the kitchen? No, we can sneak into the kitchen and steal some stuff like that. You know? Yeah. So that's what it is. They're passive. The deity becomes passive in the material world. But in the spiritual world, you're a deity. You know, they say, wow, you're here. We're just like this. You know? Yeah. And so, wow, is it something we installed or created, or they just, you know, came? So the material world, the Boma Lila is spiritual world, the Boma Lila is in Gokula, in Gokula, the gopis have husbands. In Goloka, they don't have husbands. They never quite figure it out. It's like that, you know. It's like, he just doesn't quite show up, you know. In Gokula, there are real demons, like Keshi. But in Goloka, there are only rumors of them. You know? So they're almost the same, but it's just that, you know, some things are just. And so Krishna, he also wants to, it's fun of actually, you know, knocking Keshi's teeth out, you know. So he sometimes also goes, you know, to this Boma Lila. Yeah. But not always. He's not constantly, he's not eternally associated with this. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why, you know, Boma Lila. Yeah. Okay. So Prabhupada ki. Bhagavad Gita as it is with Sanskrit ki.